Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim.
Reading from Romans chapter 10, God's holy word, as He gave it to Paul for the church at Rome, and gave it to us. As Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And this is part of the word of Christ through Paul. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord, over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's give thanks for these words. The wonderful message there, given by Paul, one of those of whom we can say, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And Paul certainly did that. And he could say he had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to the church at Ephesus. He was doing the same here, bringing the message to the church at Rome, that was needed, and for us as well, and oh, how we need it today. Let's pray that God will give it, not only by the letter of His Word, but especially by the Spirit, that it will be experienced. There are many who have taught the Word, but are lacking in the understanding of it, and think that when it is understood, sometimes, even as Christ was accused of being beside Himself, and Paul, when he spoke the message plainly, they said to him, "Much learning doth make thee mad." We must see that only when we have the Spirit do we know these things in a way that will give glory to God, will humble us, and will give us the salvation of which, as we read, we need not to be ashamed. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come acknowledging that without Him, we remain children of wrath, even as others, all of us together, none excepted. As Paul could ask the question in the beginning of this epistle, "Are we better than they?" His answer was, "In no wise. We have together become unprofitable." And help us to see it, Father, today, both in the church and in the world. Sadly, the church, particularly in our nation and other nations as well that have had the blessing of the church more in the past, that the church has become a salt that have lost its savor. And as Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, only to be trodden underfoot of men. We read of those who are complaining of things done against the church, but help us to see, Father, first of all, the fault ourself, and especially the fault of the church in regard to the home, not teaching properly the message that Thou dost give. What Thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder, and how the church with the nation has laws that allow it and condone it and sadly sometimes promote it. And we pray, Father, that we might see that also in the way of divorce and remarriage, that the church is not teaching Thy word as plainly as Thou dost give it to us, Lord Jesus. And we pray that we might come back to that, that the churches will bring a message of repentance itself and then repentance to the home and to the nation, and that there might be a reversal of the terrible falling away of the home. And we pray especially for the children in the broken homes. We pray, Father, for those that need the healing hand in the body. We pray for many other needs that there are of those with serious illness and those with lesser illness. We pray for those that will be left in their illness through life, that Thou would give them the grace to bear under it, as Paul was told, that grace was sufficient, and also they may know the brevity of life and the need to prepare for death. Teach us all to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. We give thanks for the health that we do have, and again pray for that which is needed for those that are in injury and sickness. We pray for the other needs that there are in the schools. All the lies that are being taught and have been taught already for years, especially the lie of evolution, that it has not been taught that Thou hast in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. We have become accustomed to it seemingly, and again the church is quiet. We pray that we might raise up our voice, as Thou hast said, like a trumpet, make both our nation and other nations to know that Thou art our Creator, Thou art our Lawgiver. It is in Thee alone that we live and move and have our being. We think of what Paul has said in the beginning of this letter, that if we do not recognize Thee as Creator, our foolish heart is darkened. We are there as a nation, doing foolish things many ways, destroying ourselves, destroying our future, especially for the children. And we pray, Father, we might recognize all of these lies in the school, the lie of evolution, the lie of wrong marriages with the homosexuals. We pray that they might see the need of the blessing of the gospel. Thou hast so loved the world, even the world of homosexuals. Thou dost give Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That message might be given in love, as Paul could say, and as he did. And we pray, Father, for other needs that there are. The race problem and the race theory and making it worse instead of better when we do not have the Lord Jesus as the only one to lead us and help us, as thou hast said, before thy death, without me you can do nothing, but also telling us that if we would abide in thee, and thou would abide in us, we can bring forth much fruit. And we pray for such an awakening in the church that we will know the need of thee, Lord Jesus, that we will know our own foolishness, our pride, our self-righteousness, as thou didst speak to the church at Laodicea, and say, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. And we pray that we might hear thy voice and open the door, and have thee come into us once again, that thou would be in our midst, that thou would be our teacher, that thou would be the one to lead us and give us more of those who will bring thy word and its truth and in its righteousness, both the message of the gospel and the call to repentance. We pray all these things and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at this again, I think especially that part of it, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? We mentioned last week the different times in Job's life, and how in the beginning he spoke that which was right to the glory of God. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But as we went along, Satan tempted him more, he had to suffer more, and his so-called three friends accused him, that he began to complain. Then we saw how Elihu spoke wisely to him. Job added to sin rebellion, and he came to such a point. But in the end, he was humbled and made that wonderful statement that he had heard of God by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself in dust and ashes. That's what we need to learn as well. Both the lost and the saved have to come that way before God. We have to come, the lost, knowing their guilt, knowing their sinfulness, that part of repentance that humbles us. Too often we think we repent and become better, and then we are in a way fit for salvation. But as I'll read, hopefully, in a few moments, from Hopeful's conversion, we see that that is not God's way. God's way is to bring us to the end of ourselves, as Paul said, and I died. Repentance is coming to see how sinful we actually are, not just how sinful we were and are now different. That comes after salvation and not before, and it will not come until we have Christ. I would like to read part of Pilgrim's Progress, written 300 years ago, reading a little bit more than what Paul quoted, but the rest of it is very pertinent, very necessary, and especially the promise there of what will happen when God will bring again Zion or the church. We could look at that in two ways, the church of today, and the other is Zion, Jerusalem, that is there in the nation of Israel, still divided, is not showing itself to be what we read twice in Scripture, the city of the great King, the city of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, I believe he will be recognized there as the true King, the Son of David. And let's pray for that day. We'll see more of that in the next chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 11, and pray that we'll understand that rightly, because there's much division in the church concerning it. We read here in Isaiah's statement, the last part of verse 8 of chapter 52, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. That took place after the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven. They were in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication. And then the great blessing came on the day of Pentecost. And it's only when we have that, when we get together in one and pray, that we can expect the Father blessing. That's a blessing in itself, and how we need that today. I was reading in a book of the history of the church, and how sad, all the divisions that were there over little things. They just continually differ in this and that and that and that. sometimes such minor things in church government and other areas. As I said in the last message, I read another article about the difference of viewing children in the Christian home and how they are to be viewed, how they are to be taught. Those divisions have been there. They were there, sadly, in the early church in Corinth, and they repented. Paul called them to repentance, and they did. And that's what we need today. We need that. If we want to have more labors, we need to pray that God will do what he said here. They shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion, bring the church and bring labors in it, and bring labors throughout the world. And now reading from this gospel message of John Bunyan of Hopeful's conversion. As they were on the way, they had been earlier in company with Faithful, and Faithful was killed in what was called the city of Vanity Fair. And now referring back to the teaching that Hopeful had from Faithful, he stated, "Another thing that troubled me ever since my late amendments." And that's how quite often it starts. We think we can improve our life, and that'll bring salvation. Again, I want to say, as I did earlier, that repentance is not, first of all, our improving it, but our knowing how bad it is, how sinful we are, like the publican. "God be merciful to me, a sinner," like Paul wrote in the 7th chapter of this same letter. "I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet, and sin revived, and I died." He didn't have hope by doing better. He died by looking at the law of God, and that's all we can see in the law, that we're cursed. And that's what Hopeful came to here. He tried to amend his life for a time, and now he saw that though he amended it, he said, "I have committed enough sin in one duty to send me to hell, though my former life had been faultless." Christian asked him, "What did you do then?" Hopeful, "I could not tell what to do until I break my mind to Faithful. He and I were well acquainted, and he told me that unless I could obtain the righteousness of a man that had never sinned, neither my own nor all my righteousness of the world could save me." "And did you think he spake true? Had he told me so, when I was pleased and satisfied with my own amendments, I had called him a fool for his pains. But now, since I saw my own infirmity and my sin that cleaves to my best performances, I had to be forced to be of his opinion." Christian, "But did you think that at first, when he suggested it to you, that there was such a man to be found, of whom it might be justly said that he never committed sin?" Hopeful, "I must confess that the words at first sounded strangely, but after a little more talk and company with him, I had full conviction about it." "And did you ask him who the man was, and how you must be justified by him?" "Yes, and he told me it was the Lord Jesus that dwelleth on the right hand of the Most High. And thus said he, you must be justified by him, even by trusting to what he hath done by himself in the days of his flesh, and suffered when he did hang on the cross. I asked him further, how that man's righteousness could be of the efficacy to justify another before God. And he told me that was the mighty God and what he did, and he died the death also, not for himself, but for me, to whom his doings and the worthiness of them should be imputed, if I believed on him." "And what did you do then?" "I made my objections against my believing, for that I thought he was not willing to save me." "And what did Faithful say to you then?" "He bid me go to him and see. Then I said it was presumption, but he said no, for I was invited to come." And refers to Matthew 11:28, where the words of Christ are, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then he gave me a book of Jesus, his indicting, to encourage me, that I might more freely to come. And he said concerning that book, that every jot and tittle therein stood firmer than heaven and earth. Then I asked him, what must I do when I come? And he told me, I must entreat with all my heart and soul, and ask the Father to reveal him to me. Then I asked him, Father, how must I make my supplication to him? And he said, go, and thou shalt find him upon a mercy seat, where he sits all year long to give pardon and forgiveness to them that come. I told him that I knew not what to say when I came, and he bid me say to this effect, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and make me know and believe in Jesus Christ, for I see if his righteousness had not been, or I had not had faith in that righteousness, I am utterly cast away. Lord, I have heard that thou art a merciful God, and hast ordained that by thy Son, Jesus Christ, he should be the Savior of the world, and moreover, that thou art willing to bestow him upon such a poor sinner as I am, and I am a sinner indeed. Lord, take therefore this opportunity, and magnify thy grace and the salvation of my soul, through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christian, and did you do as you were bidden? Hopeful, yes, over and over and over. And did the Father reveal his Son to you? Not at first, nor second, nor third, nor fourth, nor fifth, nor at the sixth time either. What did you do then? Hopeful, why I could not tell what to do. Had you thoughts of leaving off praying? Yes, 100 times, twice told. And what was the reason you did not? I believe that this was which had been told me, that without the righteousness of this Christ, all the world could not save me. And therefore thought I would myself, if I leave off, I die, and I can but die at the throne of grace. And with all this came into my mind, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So I continued praying until the Father showed me the Son. And how was he revealed unto you? I did not see him with my bodily eyes, but with the eye of my understanding. And thus it was. One day I was very sad, and I think sadder than at any one time in my life. And this sadness was through a fresh sight of the greatness and vileness of my sins. I was then looking for nothing but hell and the everlasting damnation of my soul. Suddenly, as I thought, I saw the Lord Jesus look down from heaven upon me and saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But I replied, Lord, I am a very great sinner. And he answered, my grace is sufficient for thee. Then I said, but Lord, what is believing? And then I saw from him that saying, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst, that believing and coming was all one, and that he that came, that is, ran out of his heart and affections after salvation by Christ, he indeed believed in Christ. Then the water stood in my eyes, and I asked Father, but Lord, may such a great sinner as I am be indeed accepted of thee, and be saved by thee. And I heard him say, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Then I said, but how, Lord, must I consider of thee and my coming to thee, that my faith may be placed aright upon thee? Then he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He died for our sins and rose again for our justification. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He is a mediator between God and us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us, and from all which I gather that I must look for righteousness in his person, for satisfaction for my sins by his blood, by what he did in obedience to the Father's law, and in submitting to the penalty thereof, which was not for himself, but for him that will accept it of his salvation, and be thankful. And now was my heart full of joy, my eyes full of tears, my affections running over with love to the name, people, and way of Jesus Christ. Christian, this was a revelation of Christ to your soul indeed. But tell me particularly, what effect did this have on your spirit? Hopeful, it made me see that all the world, notwithstanding all the righteousness thereof, is in a state of condemnation. It made me see that God the Father, though he be just, can justly justify the coming sinner. It made me greatly ashamed of the vileness of my former life, and confounded me with a sense of my own ignorance, for there never came thought into my heart before that showed me so the beauty of Jesus Christ. It made me love a holy life, and long to do something for the honor and glory of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought if I had now 1,000 gallons of blood in my body, I could spill it all for the sake of the Lord Jesus. This is what John Bunyan wrote about Hopeful, and certainly it is a very, very good picture of truth and doctrine, and especially truth and experience, and how we need to know that. Often the experience is lacking in those that teach it, but do not humble themselves and learn as Job did, or sin before God. Hopeful learned it, as he said, the time I saw my sin as never before. It was that time that God gave him Christ. And we must have that repentance that brings us to know our sin as never before. Because before that, we would have been saved. We couldn't have lived without it. And that's what we must do. My own experience was learning I'm nothing but a sinner that can do nothing but sin. Only one hope then, God giving me Christ to pardon my sin and to live in me. I've been a poor witness for it, but it's my only hope, and we want to preach it and should preach it. As Paul said here, how shall they hear without a preacher? And let's pray that God will raise up again more preachers today, like John Bunyan, like Jonathan Edwards, and those of the past. And in the meantime, if anyone wants this tract, I can put it right in a small envelope, The Hopeful's Conversion, and you can have it for the asking. Thinking of the song once again, that should bring us to do what the song says. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming, o'er the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel. Praise the Lord.